Hello and welcome back to Serie A Spotlight. We're your hosts, Jake
and Matt.
You know what time it is!
I can't tell you guys enough how much you've been my internal monologue when thinking about football for the last year.
Yes, amazing!
We get to record while drinking some wine.
Jake and I will have a very special soft spot for Salernitana.
We love him.
We love him.
Stop zooming in on Allegri's face, boy. You're gonna make
How
me
are you
break.
Exposing me?
Because you're gonna make me break. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Serie A Spotlight. This is episode 134 and we're your hosts Jake
and Matt
here to take you through all the transfers that have happened since we've last spoken to you.
But not without introducing our brand new two patrons.
So welcome Batman Choco Loco and welcome Joey D, two new patrons 24 hours apart. It had been a while since we had a patron subscribe.
Think of the last time we played techno music on this
exactly.
podcast. It had been a hot minute. Also, I hated that. It's the first time we've gotten patrons since we've started video.
It's true.
Before we just used to drag and drop them onto the audio file, it was good. Now we had to dance.
Of course.
We had to like fill in that part. And we're known for our football knowledge. We're not known for our dance moves.
Exactly. We're Maltese, anyway. Meaning our hips are as stiff as they get.
Exactly.
Yeah, dancing is not part of our culture at all.
Line dancing, on the other hand, that's our jam.
But yes, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our patrons: Alan, Andrew, Andy, Anthony, Tim, Campbell, Sluge, McNoodle, Lena, Kyle, Luca, Matthias, Mint, Michael, Ed, Tonna, Batman, Choco Loco, and Joey D. Thank you very much. You keep the show going. And of course, Batman, Choco Loco, and Joey D have left us a little bit of a message that I'd like to read out. Why not? It's a lovely message, a little bit about themselves, some feedback on the podcast.
Also, this is just encouragement. If you, I really want to start this thing where you all just have weird names
exactly.
on the podcast. We've got Sluge McNoodle, Batman Choco Loco, Teo.
Batman Choco Loco is fucking amazing. Ah, wait, we're missing something. It's Tanino Batman Choco Loco.
It's Tanino Batman Choco Loco.
Yes, Tanino Batman Choco Loco.
Tanino, I adore you.
Yeah. So he said, "Hey dudes, I've just joined your Patreon, so I figured you might want to know who the hell Tanino Batman Choco Loco is. So here's a very long note explaining it all. My real name is blank, but it is essential that you refer to me by my full screen name in the credits."
We've already done him a disservice over there by exactly. calling him Batman Choco Loco.
Exactly, for the Tanino. "I started listening to you guys' podcast about a year ago, and it became the podcast I look forward to the most. And I want to support you guys. When I first heard it, I felt like I was back at the international house at university with my third culture buddies who all have unplaceable accents. I laugh out loud like a weirdo in my car every time you guys do an American impression. Do I have a surprise for you?"
Damn it, guys, coach is right.
If we want to win, it's on us!
Shut the fuck up.
"As you may have guessed from the car part, I'm one of your listeners in the US. I grew up in France and Italy, Rome, and now live in Hudson Valley, 2 hours north of New York City. If you're ever in New York, hit me up for some banter or a little Sunday league action."
Sounds great.
"I fell in love with Serie A when I was about 10, back in the days of Baggio at Milan. I became a full-on Romanista in 2003 while I was living in Rome, and have been bearing that cross ever since, no matter where in the world I lived. I love that you guys love Serie A as much as I do. No one else seems to freaking appreciate the Salernitana Tifo. Your hilarious bromantic authenticity coupled up with real ball knowledge makes your show stick out from the rest for me. I really appreciate the intimacy of it. I am off social media and meta apps. I worked at YouTube for a while and saw how the attention harvesting sausage was made. A conversation for another time. Yes, please. I'm very curious. So don't be offended if I don't engage with you on those platforms. But I hope to create a little drama on the Fanta Culture side.
Yes.
Which we have to set up, by
we
the way.
Do,
the
we do. We're so bad. Yeah. We're so bad.
Hope to come to Malta someday and apply some of the Maltese slang I learned on your show. Keep it up. Thank you so much. This means so much to us. Tanino Batman Choco Loco. Yes, if you're ever in Malta, please do hit us up. And if we're in New York City, we'll definitely hit you up.
Yeah, and if any of you guys are ever in Malta, do hit us up for a beer and a football game. It'll
absolutely.
It'll be lit.
Yes, and please do share what Maltese slang you've learned from the show, because I'm genuinely curious.
Well, it's the classic, mela, ta.
I think we should leave Joey D's to you.
Okay.
You've got it there as well.
Oh, amazing. It's fantastic prep. Ciao, fellas. New patron here from the US. Sorry for the long post, but we'll give you a bit of a background on myself. I grew up a rabid American football and basketball fan. More recently, I tried getting into the Premier League, but couldn't trick myself into giving a fuck about a bunch of teams from London suburbs that I have no intention of visiting. Shout out to all the people from London. I discovered Serie A after Italy's Euro 2020 run. I initially decided to follow whatever team Federico Chiesa was on, but ultimately fell in love with this whole batshit crazy league. Everything except for the Buktu terrorist Allegri. I've been looking for an English language podcast for a while that focuses on the entire league, not just the top 5-6 teams. You guys popped up on my algorithm a few months ago, and I've been listening religiously ever since. Thank you very much, bro. Love that you guys go in depth, not just on Serie A, but Serie B too. Also, like that, you guys keep it chill and don't descend into screaming matches 3 times an episode. Really appreciate the hard work you put into making the show informative and look forward to being part of the Spothead community for the next season. Our Spothead community is growing, man.
It's growing.
I love it.
It's growing. And this week, of course, we've had Cesco, one of our listeners, friend of the podcast. And he was on the live with us when Milan were playing Roma in the Europa League.
Yeah, worst 2 hours of my life.
Yeah, he's been making little snippets for us.
Yeah.
Helping us out. And we've been getting a lot of love, man. Like a guy called Simon Rim, a listener, is using our podcast as a tool to improve his English. He reached out to us, so that's great. If you're using this to improve your English, please do let us know. That's great to hear.
Jake is an English teacher, so take his advice when it comes to English, and probably not myself.
And remember, I'm off when I'm on this podcast. So also, shout out to Davis Sasuke on TikTok and his friends who listen from Ghana.
Ghana,
love
2010.
Ghana.
Ghana 2010.
I'll never forget.
Lest we forget. We got robbed, brothers.
Gian Azamoa, Muntari, Apia.
Yeah.
All those
Vorsach,
guys.
Mensah.
Ooh, they were so good, man.
Lit.
Such a good team. And shout out to Nicholas, our soon-to-be patron. No rush, brother.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
When you can, bro.
Don't worry. We're so sweet. We're so
all right, these guys, man.
Uh-huh. In this episode, guys, we're going to go through a bit of a transfer update. It's been a bit of a quiet week, but it's the minnow sides that have been mostly active these past few weeks. We are going to take the end to discuss some rumors, some ongoing deals that are maybe closer to getting over the line. And then we do have some listener questions that we would like to address and go through.
Absolutely, yes. So if you haven't listened yet, we've covered the majority of the transfers that have happened in the previous 2 episodes. We even had a friend of ours who follows the Premier League very closely on the last episode, and he covered all the Premier League arrivals in great detail.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to cover the ones that have happened in the last week, basically.
Exactly.
Thies Dallinga to start us off, and he is Bologna's new striker. He has been brought in as the Joshua Zirkzee replacement from Toulouse for 18 million. He's 22 years old, and he's a dynamic forward known for his agility, his quickness, his clinical finishing, and has this excellent ability to find space in the box and capitalize on goal-scoring opportunities. He is known for his work rate and his pressing ability. And apparently his physicality needs to improve, though, as he struggles in high-pressure situations.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a little bit of feedback from one of our listeners, Nicholas, on Instagram, if you want to read it out, brother.
Sure. So he is really good with hold-up play, same as Zirkzee was in the Bologna system. He's really good with his playing with his back towards goal, but also turning the defender and creating chances for his teammates. He needs a fast winger for that, for those supporting runs, and then finding space in the box. He is also very good with the second ball. Don't get me wrong, he is a goal scorer, but he isn't going to be the star man banging 15-plus goals this season for them. So neither was Zirkzee, to be honest, who got 12 goals. Profile-wise, he's very similar. So if Italiano is looking to kind of replicate what Thiago Motta managed to do with the starting 11, then it's a good signing. He's also quite big. He's 6'3". He's a bit, I believe, better in the air than Zirkzee from the little research I've done on these dudes. I saw that he did score a few headers, which is something that Zirkzee definitely needs to work on for his size. But also he has a good touch on him. He's quite intelligent. He's a bright player. Now it's going to be interesting to see what Bologna do since they lost out on that Salemakers deal. So the quick wingers is a question mark. I know they have Orsolini, but they do need to sort the other side out.
Absolutely, yes. And in the French league last season with Toulouse, he scored 14 goals and got 2 assists. As well as getting 4 goals and 2 assists in the Europa League as well. So he was quite prolific for them, at least. We'll just see if he manages to adapt to Italiano's system, because the last striker who actually thrived in an Italiano system was Vlahovic.
Yeah, that's true. I just want to check, because I do believe that Toulouse are in the second division of France.
It might have been, actually.
I do think so.
Let's double check that. That's very important.
they are now definitely in the top league, but I do believe that in 2022-2023, if I'm not mistaken, they were in the second division.
So let's see, 23-24.
They were
in the second division. Okay, so they're buying someone from the second division in France. It's quite a gamble. So this level is going to be quite new for him. So he most likely won't hit the ground running, but age is at his advantage because he is 22 years old.
It's also interesting to see if they're going to be banking on this guy as a starter. They did spend 18 million on him. So it does seem to be the case. However, this doesn't discount, naturally, Zirkzee never really had a replacement up front, right? So yeah. Italiano is going to want to get in another player. And judging by maybe his lack of experience, maybe they should bring in someone who can compete with this guy for the starting spot.
I genuinely think that Bologna seem a little bit underprepared for the Champions League. I would have hoped that after achieving top four, they would have brought in some reinforcements. Because they've lost depth. And it's not like they had a lot of it. You know, Salemakers is gone. Zirkzee is gone. Calafiori's gone, and they're taking their sweet time to actually replace these players, and they're not really upgrading them. You know, if you want to do well in the Champions League, you're going to need to do a lot better than this. And they do have money now from the Zirkzee and the Calafiori deals.
Those deals did just happen, though.
Yeah,
so we'll like see. Calafiori, there literally the deal was announced, like, here we go, like today. They are going to receive that money and they are going to be able to reinvest it. I don't want to address the rumors now, but it's very fitting to say that they are heavily, heavily linked with Hummels, who wants a move to Bologna. And he is a multiple-time Champions League finalist, twice with Dortmund, and probably a few times with Bayern Munich as well. He's probably won it with Bayern Munich.
He played at a very high level last season as well. I was very impressed whenever I watched Dortmund. Hummels was still one of the best men.
I believe he was the best centre back in the Champions League
the
last year.
The thing that puts me off, though, is he's playing in an Italiano system. Meaning it's going to be a high line.
Yeah. And
so it's not exactly playing to his advantage.
Yes, and it's also, as a replacement of Calafiori, they're very, very different profiles. Calafiori is the polar opposite of what Hummels is. Hummels is good going up for corners, sure, so he can be a presence inside the box, but there's no way he's going to carry the ball forward. Interesting. They do need a lot of reinforcement, Bologna, if they're going to want to progress in the Champions League and replicate their top five finish.
Absolutely. They have a lot of work to do still, as do quite a few teams in Italy. The next one that we're going to be covering is Pongracic. We know Pongracic very well from his time at Lecce. He's moving to Fiorentina. Fiorentina have sold Milenkovic to Nottingham Forest for about 15 million and brought in Pongracic for about 15 million.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it was a straight swap.
Very different profiles. If you're looking at Pongracic and Milenkovic again. So Milenkovic obviously is typically known to be the last man. This is kind of like what we just discussed with Bologna, Hummels and Calafiori, right? Because Pongracic is the kind of guy that does like to... He's very similar to Martinez Quarta in the sense that he likes to bomb forward. He likes to carry the ball forward. I have called him a horse in the past. Very
not,
similar,
not quite to the extent, though.
Not of, quite of to the Martinez. Extent of Quarta, but he does do it. He does do it a lot. He is that style of centre-back. Whereas Milenkovic, obviously, on the other hand, is more similar to Hummels in the sense that he's the last man. But to be honest... Not an upgrade, but it was time for them to part ways with Milenkovic after the past two seasons that he's had with Fiorentina being a disaster, pretty much.
I think Milenkovic had plateaued at Fiorentina, and it almost gave me the impression that he was in his 30s and declining. But he's only like 26 years old, Milenkovic.
Mm-hmm.
And Pongracic is also 26 years old. He has looked very good for Lecce. He didn't look as good in the Euros as Patron Allen correctly said.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, bro, by the way, you said that he likes to drive with the ball.
Mm.
He started off his career as a striker, Pongracic, then moved to midfield and then transitioned to a defender towards the end of it. So yeah, and he was born in 1997, making him your age, man.
Yeah.
He looks much older than you do.
He's actually a little bit younger than me. I think he's 26 right now. I've already turned 27.
The problem with Pongracic is the same problem with Milenkovic at times. It's the lapses in concentration.
Exactly.
Milenkovic is a little bit clumsier than Pongracic, but they both have their occasional lapses in concentration, I think.
Yeah, I think defensively, Milenkovic, as much as he struggled in the past 2 years, he has a lot more of a physical presence and like aerial dominance than Pongracic. So Fiorentina are going to miss out on having that aerial. He's huge as well, 6'3", I believe.
Pongracic, we're talking?
No. Milenkovic.
Milenkovic is massive. He's bigger than 6'3", I think.
Yeah.
I'll double check that.
So I do think that they're going to lose out on some of that physicality. Mm-hmm. But hey, they're gaining a ball-playing defender who, for an Italiano system to turn defense into attack rapidly, he could be very useful over there.
A Paladino system.
Oh, sorry. In a Paladino system. Jesus.
Absolutely. He's 6'5", Milenkovic.
6'5",
Milenkovic
Christ.
Will be missing these situations, right? Corners, set pieces and all that, but... But yeah, he had definitely stagnated. And we'll see what he can do with Pongracic, Paladino. I'm very excited to see this in general.
Same.
The next player
Paladino has experimented between a 4 at the back and a 3 at the back for Monza. With Monza. So now interesting to see what he's going to do with Fiorentina. Biraghi could be very good as a left wing back. Kayode could be very good as a right wing back.
That definitely.
Even Faraoni. So that is definitely going to be interesting. And also with Pongracic and Quarta, with them being a bit more on the offensive side, maybe employing a last man, an anchor, would be a good option for when he wants to play a 3 at the back. Because this is a similar situation. I know Pongracic doesn't bomb forward as much as Quarta. But Italy, one area where I mentioned that they had struggled was because Calafiori and Bastoni were two of those guys. So them having two of those guys, it does make me think that he might opt for a 3 at the back system and insert his style a little bit more to this team.
That's very interesting because it's been ages since we've seen Fiorentina with a 3 at the back system, right?
Hey. I think they have the squad where it can work, man.
Honestly, they might. What I worry about is Biraghi transitioning on the left. To be honest, I think he would be better suited as that third option at centre back. However, can you imagine Pongracic, Quarta, and Biraghi? That's no defence.
Biraghi. they could try bring out some element of DeMarco in him.
Maybe, yes, that kind of thing. He's got a wicked left foot on him.
They've struggled to get the ball in the box, Fiorentina. Mm. That could be a potential avenue to solve that problem, man. And even Moise Kean has size to him. He's good in the air. That can be something, man. That can be something, a potential three at the back for Fiorentina. Yeah. What do you guys fucking think?
Keep an eye out. Drop a comment in our YouTube comment section. Give Let us kiss. Know. Yeah. You know, Pongracic has become the highest paid defender in Fiorentina history, making 2 million per season.
They've never had a defender apparently that made more not, than 2
funnily
million.
Enough. Apparently not. Apparently not. And he's on a
How
5 year deal.
How much is Quarta on, man?
I guess one something.
Milan offer him 3 million. Bring him in.
Bring him in. The next guy we're going to be talking about is Saul Kocko, who arrived at Torino from Las Palmas.
Did we mention him last episode?
We did, however, we didn't give any information about him.
Okay, because we're saying we're going to have Kocko and Duda.
Yes, we are going to have Kocko and Duda. And hopefully Pipi as well. He's joined from Las Palmas. He's 24 years old. He's a defender. He's very versatile. He can play as both centre-back and as a full-back. He's got good size to him as well. He is 6'2". And he had 79 appearances for Las Palmas before moving to Torino. Now, the question is he the Ricardo Rodriguez replacement, who is most likely going to join Inter? Mm. Or is he the Buongiorno replacement?
So, we had a small conversation about this before we started recording. And sorry, I think guys. We
try not to do that.
I think we disagree. I think that from, again, the few highlights, guys, that I've seen about this guy and a little bit of research is that Saul Kocko does like to insert himself in attacking situations, and he's even scored a few free kicks in his career and got on some set pieces. Can also play wide as a wing back and as a left back, similar to Ricardo Rodriguez, left footed center back or left footed wing back. So profile-wise, I find him quite similar to Ricardo Rodriguez, especially that free-kick thing and corner thing. It's uncanny.
That's true. The only difference and then is that his strengths lie in his physicality and his defending. And that's literally Buongiorno's entire thing. You know, this guy, kind of, granted he's versatile, but he can be a very good last man as well. So I wonder how they'll go about it. I think one more defender needs to arrive, and that will be very, very telling.
Yeah.
You know, if they bring in a Buscarotta type, we're going to be like, okay, Kocko's the Rodriguez here.
Now, interesting, because I just keep saying
the
same thing.
They've also changed managers, so it might be a completely different system.
Vanoli and go back to our Serie B special where we explain how these managers play. Because Vanoli is another manager that had started playing a four at the back and then halfway through the season adapted to a three at the back. So he's also, he's got a few tricks up his sleeve, right?
Absolutely.
So, again, losing two key defenders in Ricardo Rodriguez and Buongiorno doesn't exactly scream, let's play as a three at the back to me. It seems like they have a lot more signings to make in order to be able to do that. But he does have the profile of someone that can play in both systems. It's just going to be interesting to see where his strengths lie, because again, he's good going forward, but he also has great physicality. So where is he going to
And his weaknesses, funnily enough, from what I've read, are crossing accurately, consistently, and he lacks speed against faster opponents. Ricardo Rodriguez. Ricardo Rodriguez.
It's true.
So we'll have to see what he's going to be exactly.
7.5 million, huh? Cairo busting out the bucks.
Yeah. The next guy is actually quite well known, isn't he? Shea Adams. How do you pronounce that?
I was calling him Ke Adams. Joined on a free to Torino from Southampton. I've seen this guy play before. I think he's smart. I think he's really good at his physicality. So he's very physically imposing. He's really good at putting himself between the ball and his opponent. So he's good at laying the ball back to one of his teammates. But after he does that, he'll make a run into the box. And if his teammate is smart enough, he'll play him through. the thing is, his finishing isn't always...
That's
it's not always perfect.
So he's 5'9", but he is very strong.
He's very strong. He's a war
tank.
And
he can hold the ball up really well. And he can play his teammates into good positions, from what I've seen. And it makes me think, to be honest, that he is kind of like an upgrade on the Sanabria profile. And paired with Duvan Zapata, that might be a match made in heaven. I think they might have a very good relationship together, because he's very clever with his link-up play, man, Adams. Theo gave us a bit of information about him, our friend, our Premier League-loving friend. He said, in a nutshell, he's useful but struggled to ever assert himself in the Premier League. He's high energy, he presses from the front, he always gives 100%, he's quite physical and decent all round. He's best utilized as a secondary striker, pretty useless if you play him alone. He's never hit 10 Premier League goals in a season and never become a key player in the Southampton team. That says a lot about where your expectations should be. Even last year, he was outplayed in the Championship by his strike partner, Adam Armstrong. All in all, on a free, that's a solid signing, but he's unlikely to set the league alight. Yes, I don't think he'll be banging them in, but he might get Duvan to bang them in.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. They'll have a very formidable front two if they have Duvan Zapata, and a very streaky front two if they have Duvan Zapata and Adams.
Yes, he had 25 starts in the Championship last season and another 16 appearances on top of that off the bench, and he scored 16 goals and got 4 assists. For Southampton. So that's not too bad. Uh-huh. The Championship's a pretty tough league as well. Yeah. It's very physical. You have to be quite strong and determined to score in that league.
He's a Scotsman.
Yeah.
He represented England in the under-20s and then moved to Scotland. The Scots must love that. They've had too many go the other way, even true. The Irish.
Absolutely. Cairo is very confident he will do well. The owner, the president of Torino. Because he said, you saw Scamacca, he scored 4 goals in the Premier League with West Ham. That means that this guy will do well like Scamacca did well over here. So basically, Cairo's an idiot.
not a great scout, Cairo, maybe.
No, he's that comparison is just, it's too
very
generic.
Very interesting to see where Torino are going to be next season, because they had cemented themselves as a 10th place team. And a 9th place team with Juric, maybe not the most attractive football, but they, Milan's dark horses. I just feel like this Vanoli move is a big risk, and seeing the signings, man, I think they'll be a bit streaky in the beginning, man.
Probably. Could be said about many of these teams, by the way.
Absolutely.
Because everything is new.
Every team has a new manager, man, pretty
this
much.
This Adams guy, for what we've learned about Vanoli in our research for the Serie B episode, is that they love to press after losing possession, right?
Yes.
So they'll play a long ball over the top of the defender, intercepts, they press him. Isn't Adams the perfect man for that?
Theo said he always gives his 100%. He's good on the press, even if you watch highlights. By the way, if you watch highlights of Adams, good luck finding a good goal. Because he's such a clutch striker in that sense. He gets the tap-ins. Don't get me wrong, he has some good finishes, like I said, when he links up well with his teammates. But the majority of his goals are just banter goals, man, where he gets in a rebound.
Absolutely, man. The next person, unless there's anything you want to add.
That's fine.
Is Kialonda Gaspar from Estrella to Lecce for 2 million. Now, not again, bro. That Cucurella moment from the last episode, it's the most half-assed snippet I've ever made in my life. I took that moment, just 3 seconds, Matthew singing the Cucurella song, and I posted it on Instagram. It's on 2.2 something million views.
2 million views on Instagram, 57 views on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I don't
weird.
Know why.
Yeah. I also got so much hate for a couple of fucking
It's because the song's pissing people off.
No one likes you.
Yeah, bro. There was this guy who commented 5 times.
Yes, man. He's a fan. Let me read that up. Fan page of sorts.
This is...
Censor some of it.
Should I? I'm just quoting what he said, no?
Censor some of it, bro.
Okay. So, you can't even sing well, is one comment.
I can.
And he posted it. Then he commented again, no one likes you. Then he commented again, quit singing. And he was so angry he misspelled singing. Then he commented again, that's the worst song. Then he commented again, another beep. I don't think I need to be said. But anyway,
yeah.
So this guy is very, very upset with you, bro, for singing that Cucurella song.
What's his handle? Let me give him a shout out.
His handle is hyper.edits.7.
Hyper.edits.7. Guys, go follow show him some love. Follow him. Check out his edits. They're really cool. Give him some love, guys. He's a happy
fantastic
dude.
Fantastic. Shout out to hyper.edits.7.
Edits is with a Z.
Yeah.
And he's a hyper asshole.
Yeah. So this Gaspar guy, bro, let's not get too sidetracked here, is Lecce's new center back.
replacing Pongracic.
He's been bought for 2 million. And he's a big boy with a missing tooth and long hair, from what I've seen.
Fucking
love that. So
Serie A spotlight.
If Fullkrug doesn't join Milan, we have a player with a missing tooth.
Fullkrug has to join Milan.
I hope so. He's formidable, bro. He's big. He's known for his athleticism, his strong tackling, and his ability to read the game. He has a good sense of timing when it comes to his challenges, and he's effective in one-on-one situations especially. However, he does need to develop his positional awareness, and when you apply a little bit of pressure on him, he's quite prone to making mistakes. He does lack experience at higher competitive levels, which might affect his consistency with Lecce, and this is the first time, to be honest, the Buscarotto might, if this guy is a starter, Buscarotto is going to be the leader at the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And Buscarotto's had Pongracic guiding him, and he's had Umtiti guiding him over the past two seasons.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens to him, because he did dip a little bit last season, Buscarotto.
Yeah. 6'4", formidable, alongside Buscarotto, strikers are going to be in for one hell of a ride. Lecce, where quite good from their set pieces a couple of years ago, in that season where Buscarotto scored so many headers and openly said that he only eats chicken and rice. So I guess maybe that's what Lecce are going for as a team that's constantly battling relegation, is having a formidable back two. Again, man, the background of some of these players isn't something that I'm convinced about, right? This is either great scouting or it's low ambition.
But this is how they operate, bro. This is how these teams survive. Hellas, Verona and Lecce have been doing this for quite a while now. Last season we had Pontus Almqvist. No one had ever heard of him, bought for a couple hundred thousand, lighting the league up. There were people, his fellow countrymen, didn't even know where he was from.
Lighting the league group up in the first two games of the season, and they played nothing. Well.
No, but he still applied the pressure. He was still useful, man. These players don't have to hit 15 goals, you know. You get 4 goals, you can save them. You know, 4 clutch important goals.
Yeah, they also signed a goalkeeper, which is interesting because they do have a very good goalkeeper in Falcone.
But they got this guy from Austria, Vienna. His name is Christian Fruchtel. That's Fruchtel, I think.
Fruchtel.
He's 24 years old and he was in the Bayern Munich Academy.
Scuola Bayern Munich. Yes. He looks good, man. He looks very good.
Yeah, so honestly, it might be a good coup just in case they want to profit off of Falcone one day, you know? You never know.
I've seen him save a few penalties. If you look at what Xerxes' career looked like, right? So Bayern, a few loans, Anderlecht, where Vincent Kompany put him in his place, a loan to Parma, went to Bologna. If you squall a Bayern Munich, you're on people's radar. So maybe he is going to be the guy that they can flip and make 20 million from as a promising goalkeeper.
Very good point.
As Falcone maybe goes out on loan somewhere else or maybe gets sold. Fruchtel looks very good. I even saw him stop a few penalties. He's big. I don't know how tall
he is.
He's 6'4". I saw him save penalties. Like seemed to be quite easy for him. So I'm excited to see if he's gonna be a starter, because they're very different. Falcone Falcone is more acrobatic, you know. This guy is more traditional as a goalkeeper.
Of course, Falcone was a child actor.
Or was that Montepo?
No.
Falcone.
We've had the exact same conversation in the recap episode, Tops, Flops and Unsung Heroes.
Hilarious.
I think Falcone will be the undisputed starter. However, we'll see. Yes, he might grow into the season, this guy.
He's 24 years old.
But Falcone has proven to be very dependable, of course. Yeah, so the next one we've missed, because this actually has been announced for a while now. Alberto Moreno from Villarreal to Como on a free transfer. He's 32 years old, the left back who represented Liverpool for the longest time, Sevilla, and most recently Villarreal.
He was in the opening season, he was quite loved at Liverpool, but started to fall out of favor because he's good carrying the ball forward, but defensively, that's where he struggles. He gets caught out of position.
Absolutely, yes.
That's where his downfall is. But again, this is great European experience. He's represented Spain and he has represented, I believe, Sevilla in the Sevilla and Villarreal. I believe he might have even won the Europa League with both of them. I'm not sure.
Maybe. He was with them. Yes.
I'm not sure if he won the Europa League for Villarreal, but he certainly won
it. If he did, he won it playing 43 minutes, I believe. Yes. So, not a great showing from him in that.
But that this seems what Fabregas is doing, right? So, there's clearly a theme. So, Pepe Reina, Spanish and has a lot of experience. Moreno, Spanish, has a lot of experience. Varane, not
French,
Spanish,
but
played the majority of his professional career in Spain. Fabregas is onto something and he knows who he wants and he's going out and getting them. And there's a rumor as well.
Martial.
Who are they looking at? Martial.
Yes. And they've brought in Belotti. Belotti and Cutrone both scored in a friendly today.
We're looking at, I can't wait to watch Monza Como, man.
Right.
I can't wait to watch Monza Como.
Como have come up with a vengeance. They're apparently one of the, if not, they're probably the richest team in Serie A. Their owners are probably the richest.
Ah, yes, of course. The tobacco company.
Yes, they're like
tobacco and
billions,
multiple other things.
Billions.
Yeah, they own
network.
They own a cricket team.
Above
which is
50 billion, like that type of shit, bro. So, yeah. This is only the first season of Como. We'll see what happens. Their stadium is really cute. It overlooks the lake.
Yeah.
If they do eventually qualify for Europe, I wonder what will happen over there.
Como, Venezia, Bologna, nicest stadiums in the world. Just bring the stands a bit closer to the pitch, guys. That'd be lit.
Luca Mazzitelli has joined Como as well from Frosinone, 28-year-old midfielder known for his distribution. He's kind of a metronome type. We have seen him with Sassuolo, many appearances for Sassuolo, and with Genoa as well for one season in 2018-2019.
Monza and Frosinone more recently as well.
He was at Monza?
Yes, he was at Monza.
It's right there. Yes, sir, I didn't even see that. 28 appearances, of course.
Mm-hmm. And Frosinone, most recently, bro, we saw him at Frosinone.
Yes. He is a pretty reliable midfielder. You know what you're going to get with him, 28 years old, 6'2", stands perfectly in the middle and tries to control the midfield. The problem I've always felt with Mazzitelli is his physicality and stamina and ability to stay in the game for more than 70 minutes.
He is good, right? But he's one of those players that if you even look, he represented Italy's under-21s. So they're under-17s, under-20s, under-21s, never made it to the senior team. Because in those key moments of development where you either turn very, very good or you remain good, he remains simply good. He hasn't taken it up to that next level.
It's true. And that's probably because of a whole fitness thing, right?
Yeah.
Probably more than anything else, one of those players.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's him. We also have a guy joining Roma, a certain Samuel Dahl.
Mm-hmm.
He has joined Roma from a Swedish team, believe Djurgårdens?
Okay.
Something like that.
San Anton Gardens.
Yeah, he's 21 years old and he is very highly rated. They brought him for 4 million only. And the idea is for him to be a vice Angelino.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he forces his way into a starting position, perhaps on the other side as well. because his numbers were incredible in the Swedish league. He was in the 99th percentile for defensive actions, 96th percentile for expected assists, 89th percentile for progressive runs. He is first in defensive actions, first in duels, first in interceptions, expected assists, he was second, shot assists, he was third, and passes, he was third. He's a very exciting signing for Roma, probably the best fullback in Sweden last season.
I'm really excited about this guy, man. I saw a few clips of him as well. He even operates quite centrally at times, like in that number six role. He's 5'7", has a great center of gravity. And initially when I saw him, and I saw him playing so centrally, where he was winning the ball back and carrying the ball forward, his profile reminded me a little bit of that of Bennacer. Learning that he plays wider, obviously I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table, but I'm telling you, man, when I watched highlights of him, I only essentially saw him in the middle of the pitch.
Honestly, I felt the same way watching.
And then I'm like, okay, is he inverted? But he's left-footed. Very interesting.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye out on that situation over there while Roma build this very technically capable team.
Yeah.
And the next person we're going to speak of isn't quite the same. It's Daniel Mosquera. From America de Cali to Hellas Verona. His nickname is El Buffalo. Oh shit. Never mind. I prepared the sound of a buffalo, but it's not playing.
No, it's not working. Make it yourself.
It was like
bro. Nice kicks. It was really good.
Yeah. This guy, what I noticed from watching clips, first of all, is I don't think he's ever played on grass.
Second, he plays in the Colombian league.
Yes. He is strong. He uses his body really well. He's 24 years old. But he has a very gentle and accurate finish.
He reminds me of that Floriana forward.
Which one? The new one or Paint? No, not Paint.
Floriana.
Reed.
The bigger one, yeah. Not the more nimble
no,
one.
No, okay. So you're talking about the guy from Cape Verde.
He has a left foot. I don't know what. But this guy, as in like, I saw him do decent, so he's very raw. And it just seems like he's good in this league because he's a bit of a freak of nature with his size and strength more than anything. I didn't really see much technical ability
from the short clips quite that lacking. I saw. And he's another one. He's a Lautaro type, 5'11", but he will out-muscle you. You know what I mean? Yeah, so that's the new Hellas Verona boy. We'll see if they manage to flip him for 15 million. In case that doesn't work out, they've brought in another one. Dailon Livramento. Mm. They got him from MVV Maastricht from the Netherlands for €600,000. And this guy had 16 goals in 36 games last season. He set the league alight in the second part of the season especially. This guy is known for his finishing, his off-the-ball work, his quite quick, his touch, his apparently pretty good, but his attacking vision can be seen as a bit of a weakness. He has a high work rate of the ball, he likes to run behind the defender, and he's quite complete as a striker.
I'm never gonna doubt Hellas Verona signing, because
especially after Noslin, right?
After Noslin, after Zvidersky, after guy that went to Napoli, remind me. He's out of favor with Conte now.
Ngonge.
So they make these signings, man, Verona, and I'm not going to make the same mistake where I call them all nobodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly. All NPCs.
Year. Exactly.
All AI-generated football players. So I'm really excited
Michael
to see
Buffon.
Them.
That's the kind of guys they're signing.
But this is Daniel Mosquera.
Gianluigi Ronaldinho.
Played a really good friendly recently. He scored and he assisted.
Was him.
So okay. It's between Mosquera and Livramento on who's going to take the starting spot for Hellas Verona. All our Fanta allenatori, beware. Beware. You don't want to take both, but you don't want to take the one who's not going to play.
Exactly.
So we'll see. Now I think we should discuss a few rumors.
So those are the confirmations we have for the time being. If you don't like the fact that there were no big ones and we only covered the minnow sides, go listen to another podcast that only covers the top teams, all right? This is serious.
We've covered
spotlight.
The top ones in the previous episodes, to be fair.
All right?
Lukaku to Napoli, speaking of top ones, is almost done. He'll be reunited with Conte. You think we'll get the old Rome?
This fires me up. This fires me up because if there is something Lukaku needs in his career, there were one of two things Lukaku was going to do now after struggling so much recently and just not being, just being okay, showing us his strengths, but really fucking showing us his weaknesses. That's all he's done recently, Lukaku, big Rome. He was either going to go to Saudi, get away from it all, and make a lot of money, and do whatever the fuck he wants, or he was going to burn another bridge, go to Napoli, be reunited with Conte, and find that fire that he had. He's deleted all his photos with Roma. This is Lukaku. I'm fired up for this one.
Lukaku loves burning bridges so much. And this isn't even a joke. I know it sounds like I'm setting up a joke over here. But his Instagram handle is about burning bridges. Not his handle, sorry, his bio. So Lukaku's Instagram bio reads, I'ma probably show you why I'm solid first. And if the energy ain't right, I'ma show you how easy it is to cut ties. No more tries, gone.
Fuck,
that's
man.
That's his bio.
Megan Thee Stallion, yeah. Take note, huh?
And if you look at his pictures, he doesn't have a single picture in a football kit. He probably... Because he's burned bridges at every team he's played for.
Imagine you're hiring Lukaku. You have a company and you want to hire Lukaku. And you tell him, okay, I can't help but notice you left your references field out. Are there any previous managers that I can call? He's just like, nah. Nah. If I call them, what are they going to say about you? Don't care. He's not. So he's limited, technically, and he has a bad attitude. But there are certain managers that work well with these players. There are two that I can name off the top of my head: Mourinho and Conte.
Yeah,
they're old school in that sense. Because if Lukaku gives a little bit to Conte, Conte's gonna drop him. Conte's gonna give him 10 times more than Lukaku was giving him. This is an atmosphere in which Lukaku can flourish.
I think so. Especially if it's a two up top system. Lukaku has become one of the best players at holding up the ball. That's his greatest skill. And I think he's probably the best at shielding the ball and receiving the ball with his back towards goal.
Lukaku, prove me wrong, bro. I said you wouldn't start for a top seven team. Yeah. Prove me wrong.
Yeah. If Osimhen stays, for example, or Kvaratskhelia is deployed next to Lukaku.
Which I think that's what's going to happen.
Kvaratskhelia?
Kvaratskhelia.
Yeah, I think so.
Osimhen's
so
close to PSG.
Yes. He's close. But apparently it's complicated, huh?
Ah, because they have another guy that burns bridges.
Yeah. But yes, so Lukaku Kvara would be awesome. Lukaku playing Kvara and
yeah. Behind. Just 3-5-2. Unless Kvara plays behind the striker. That could be something.
It could
Lukaku,
be as well.
Oh, sorry. Kvara can play as a number 10. But I also anticipate that he'll play... Kind of like Roma did with Lukaku and Dybala up top.
And then you could have Raspadori as well up there.
Ooh, what fun, Raspadori.
But Raspadori is very
unique. I don't like Raspadori,
well.
Bro.
I don't mind
I don't him. Like him. Raspadori is that short friend that's good at five-a-sides, man. He's more like...
Sule to Roma.
I like this.
I like it a lot, especially with the profiles that Roma have been bringing in. Can you imagine Dybala, Sule, Baldanzi?
I prefer the Sule shout to the Chiesa shout, man. Because Chiesa, you're doubling down on the injury problem, which is they have so many injury prone players. Their key players is already one injury prone player. Please don't make it another thing. And like this Sule, he's the future, no? Sule.
Yeah.
They could have a young... This isn't a signing where they sign a 29-year-old that hasn't been performing. They're signing someone, Scuola Juve, who was the star of Frosinone last year. Not only the star of Frosinone, but he was one of the best right wingers in the league. Very similar profile to Berardi. Can carry a team, and I'd be super fucking excited to see him starting
at
Roma.
Yes, he does come with his limitations and his weaknesses, particularly in playing with a team, playing as a team, being a team player. He needs to learn how to use his teammates, but obviously he's going to be with better players now. He's going to be under a coach with a very interesting dynamic approach, and I think he'll he'll do well at Roma.
If
this goes through. Remember, these aren't confirmed, guys. Luca Consule. Yeah. Coop Miners to Juve is also gaining a little bit of traction because Juve have sold Dean Huijsen to Bournemouth. And
Huijsen went to Bournemouth.
Huijsen went to Bournemouth, I know. For like 18 million. You'd think they'd get something more.
These signings, man.
I know. And they're also close to selling Sule. And if they sell those two, they don't need to add much more to actually bring in
Kuhn. That's their problem. Eh? Yeah. They need to offload some players.
Exactly, and then they can
They've been trying to get rid of Chiesa, Sule.
Yeah. In fact, I think they would have rather kept Sule. But no one wanted Chiesa, from what it seems. Yeah. Or no one wanted to meet their demands for Chiesa. Yeah. Anyway. But Juve with Coop Miners would be deadly.
To think. Yeah. Juve were offered like 120 million by Chelsea after the Euros. Chelsea are hilarious, man. They're the funniest team in the world. Offered 120 million.
Chelsea and
million.
United, man.
Literally. Well,
they're so impulsive.
United, a bit more intelligent past two
seasons.
Hoyland, Xerxes. Amrabat, he just shat the bed with them, but he was a good signing.
But
fuck Casemiro, Varane, and these
bro,
signings.
They paid like 20 million to loan in Amrabat. It's not a good signing. When it comes to the profiles, they go for the road, right? But the money they pay, everyone shafts United.
But now there's this whole thing. Glazers don't have the majority anymore. So they have new owners, in inverted commas. If I'm wrong, please correct me. Mm. But there's something.
I think they took a backseat in the decision making. They brought in someone.
Basically, I think someone that was with City or something to come in and do some business with them. But they seem to be moving a bit more cautiously and a bit more professionally, looking after, making sure they get their money's worth.
Yeah. Pavlovic.
Please, we really didn't talk about Coop Miners at Juve. He would be,
he'd be a menace, right? It would be incredible.
This would be the biggest signing in this transfer market, if this goes through.
We talked about it with Theo, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And we said that they would have midfielders who are so versatile that they can just swap roles in a single game. You can have Coop Miners playing behind the strikers, dropping back and allowing Douglas Luiz to play behind the strikers.
Exactly.
They can free each other up. They can complement each other. I think it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Coop Miners and Motta.
True.
So Milan have been linked to Pavlovic, Samardzic and Fofana. Fofana looks like it's probably not going to happen because Milan took too long and offers way higher than Milan's have come in.
Yeah.
Samardzic wants the move and it could be the case that they want to get revenge for the deal falling through with Inter by joining Milan. And Pavlovic apparently had stalling a little bit, but the player really wants Milan,
but now it seems like Atletico Madrid are putting themselves in the picture as well for Pavlovic.
Yeah,
because they're getting rid of Hermoso. So they're looking at Pavlovic. I like Pavlovic for a couple of simple reasons. One, big, formidable, a fuck you center back, like. And he also had a great performance against Inter. He had a super good performance against Inter in the Champions League.
He did, and he's a no-nonsense defender. He'd be a fantastic partner to Tomori because there'd be two defenders who are good on recovery as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with Fonseca's system, which is to dominate the ball and force the opponent to play in their half.
Exactly.
You need two defenders who can get back.
Yeah.
So Rodriguez to Inter is another funny one, Ricardo Rodriguez. I can see him totally going in and becoming the deputy left centre back and having a pretty good season as well when called upon.
I don't know why
this is. He fits the mold, man.
This is really giving me Kolarov to Inter memories.
Ah, yes.
It really is.
It's true. Except this is like, you know, Kolarov wasn't really suited for that position at all.
No.
He's more suited, Rodriguez. He's been doing it for a longer time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not as old as people think. He's got a lot of experience, quality left foot, and leadership qualities. Uh-huh. His weaknesses are in his pace, which if you play him as a left center back, it's bloody perfect for him. And defensively, he's not the best, but as a deputy, he's a very good player to have. This is Marotta once again pulling off magic with very limited resources.
Yeah, yeah. True.
So we've discussed Hummels to Bologna a little bit already, so I think we can brush over that one. And we have Martial to Como, which would be mental.
Martial is a super underrated player. He is excellent. I know so many United fans who only have top things to say about Martial. Problem with injuries.
Yes, that's the thing.
Otherwise, he is a fantastic player, man. A super player.
Martial. He played at all last season. Do we know anything?
He was out injured for a lot of the past few seasons, man, if I'm not mistaken.
And another fun one, which is just a rumor, to be honest, is James Rodriguez to Lazio on a free. Imagine getting the Copa America MVP on a free.
That would be mental.
That's massive. That's
mental. That was a funny move by Real Madrid as well. They spent like 100 million on him after his World Cup with Colombia. This guy is made for international competitions, eh, James Rodriguez?
I think Perez's wife went, I like him, buy him. He was like, okay, babe, anything for you.
His first season at Real was actually solid. It was actually quite good.
He's a good player, man. He can turn his season around.
But then Real had, like, at the same time, Kaká, Isco, James Rodriguez, and someone else. All attacking midfielders. Isco ended up on the bench.
That's called gluttony.
Kaká ended up never playing under Mourinho. Went back to Milan. That was crazy.
So I think we can move on to the questions, bro.
Yes. Pow, pow. Wow, I got a quiz. Yo, I got a quiz. Nice.
So this is our question segment, which we've brought back for the for the summer period. Usually, I think in our episodes, don't really have time for questions because it takes over two hours sometimes to discuss the matches. But here we go. We have our first question from Michael Harrington on Instagram. Sorry, that took a while. He asks, will Milan make the top four? His prediction is Inter, Juve, Napoli and Roma to get top four. Now, I think that top four is completely open next season.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands right now, Matt and I will be doing a predictions episode when the transfer window closes.
Yeah.
However, I think as it stands, Juve and Milan are both two teams that you don't know what to expect. They can either challenge for the league or they cannot even get top four. Mm. And I feel like those are the teams that have a lot of change. I have two teams that guarantee top four next season.
I know who you're going to say. Can I guess?
Yes.
Inter and Napoli.
Yes, exactly. Inter and Napoli, for me, top four, for sure, next season. Atalanta, as it stands, have a good chance because they've kept everyone. However, if Juve come in and take Coupe Miners, they'll have to react or die, essentially. I think the top four, as it stands, I would put Napoli, Inter, Juve, Milan.
Roma can be left out. Atalanta...
In no particular order, but...
Can be left out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Juve will be in top four. They might have a slow start, but they'll grow into it. I agree with you. I think those will be our top four.
I think it's the safest shout, to be honest, as it stands.
Napoli can not make top four. I know what you're going to say.
Disagree.
But football has changed a lot. In the past 5 years, which is when Conte had a lot of success in Serie A, football's changed a lot. I can see a world where Napoli are overwhelmed by these super attacking teams. I can see it.
Maybe.
I think they'll do it. It's a possibility.
They challenge for the league, personally. I think Conte comes in, he changes the mentality, he gets them fitter than everyone else. Lukaku shows up with a six-pack back, you know. He's got the personalities there as well, and the Neapolitan fire and the atmosphere and the fans. It's going to be a bloodbath for everyone. And they just needed to start off well so they don't cut ties and burn bridges and De Laurentiis can stay calm and happy without yapping and pissing everyone off, basically. William asks, Sulet, Roma, question mark. We've discussed that a little bit. Do you think it will happen? I think it will happen.
I think it will. How much?
I think it would be like 35.
Roma are going to spend 35 million on a player.
I think so.
That's fucking crazy.
It's been a while because they've been under financial fair play restrictions. But now they're back, you know.
I'm confident it'll happen. It'll be so cool. I'd love to see Soler at Roma.
I think so. This is an interesting one. Adam asks, who do you think will be breakout stars for this season, new arrivals or otherwise? For me, I thought a little bit about this. I'm going to say Chukwueze.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
I think Chukwueze will have a good season. Not a season where he'll set the world on fire, but it will be a breakout season for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a bit boring and go Douglas Luiz comes in and instantly hits the ground running in Serie A. I'm extremely confident of that. And I'm also confident that Morata is going to have a good season for Milan.
Do you think any of these strikers on the small teams could do well? The Bellotti type, the Poyampalo type? Ah, Dennis Mann can have a good season as
Dennis
well.
Dennis Mann or Barnaby can have a good
for Parma as well. These guys can have breakthrough seasons as well. Dennis Mann has already had breakthrough seasons.
Uh-huh. I don't really want to say anyone like from Venezia, Parma, because we've seen them, really.
Barnaby hasn't done it in Serie A.
Como are an interesting one, man. Como are interesting. They'll have a few players that'll be... Ooh, this one thing we didn't mention, bro.
What?
Colpani to Fiorentina.
Colpani to Fiorentina is probably happening.
Yes.
Reunited with his boy Palladino, which means he'll score five goals, five spectacular goals.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he'll be good. He will be good.
I think so. That might be a good shout, actually. Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course, El Bufalo.
You can.
I tried again, you know. The next question is from Nick Enger. He says, who's a player you wish never left Serie A? Milan bias aside, because I know you motherfuckers might say Tonali.
He's absolutely right. I work with Nick. I know you, you know, right?
He showed up at my birthday, sang a song and left. That's hilarious.
What song was it? It was of Radiohead. Creep. Karma Police.
Creep. Personally, Tonali leaving was great for me. 80 million. You know?
Shut the fuck.
80 million.
I don't give a fuck. Like, bro, put... You're not involved in Milan business bringing in players. I'm happy that Milan brought in all these guys that they brought in. Reinders, Okafor, Loftus, Pulisic. All of these guys. But Tonali bled for Milan, bro. Tonali is still to this day one of my favorite players to ever wear the shirt. Because in a period of... So, firstly, pivotal when Milan won the league. Pivotal he was. One of Milan's best... Him and Kessié. Oh my God, how I miss him and Kessié in a double pivot.
That's because That's because there was no one like them at all last season.
It's true.
That's it.
It's true.
They're replaceable. Kessié is less replaceable than
Tonali is replaceable.
Because Kessié was a very unique player. Uh-huh.
He's one of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like, were they superheroes? No.
He was like the brick guy. What was his name?
Uh-huh.
I don't know his name.
Like the Hulk.
That's
a good one.
I like that you have to think about the Hulk.
No, because like, you know what like I was going to say? I was going to say like Cletus from Codename Kids Next Door, bro. Earth!
Oh my God, you just unlocked the memory.
Uh-huh.
So a player you wish who never left Serie A.
Mine are all Milan. I'm thinking Tarapt as well.
Tarapt's a good one. Brahim Diaz, I wish stayed a bit. I used to like Théat.
Arthur Théat. Uh-huh. Plays in the French league. I wish he never left. No.
Yeah. I used to really enjoy watching him every week. I mean, there are so many, man. Where do you even start? João Pedro, which never left Cagliari, but they got relegated.
This is such a tough one, Nick. I should have thought about it a bit before the podcast. Players I wish never left Serie A. all the ones that are coming to mind are Milan.
Kaká.
Oof. I have a going back the then, no.
Yeah.
Give me some time to think about it.
Sure, we'll revisit this one. Baroni at Lazio, will it work or not? This is from Frank on Twitter. What do you expect from Como this season? Two questions. So Baroni at Lazio, I think at best they can get Europa League, I think. Because Baroni has proven himself to be a manager who can work with limited resources. And Lazio's transfer market has been interesting to say the least. I think they have a few tools to set up a decent, strong, well-structured side and hit on the break enough to challenge for an Europa League spot.
They've clearly got a project going on, Lazio. At least they're being consistent in the type of moves that they're making, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they're looking to be a bit smarter rather than splashing a lot of cash on players that you don't quite know what to expect from them or off of hype trains. as a squad, I still think that they're a little bit behind, even from a depth perspective. That's really an area where they struggled last season. Now they're losing Chiro. They've lost Chiro. He's off to Besiktas. When it comes to Baroni, I think he is a good guy to be able to get this new team and get them to perform together, because he's done it in the past. I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll do the best that he can do. Tops is Europa League, but I still think they'll be a little bit off, and they'll end up getting Conference League.
Conference League, maybe.
Their squad just isn't deep, and they don't have that much quality in it, man. Luis Alberto, yeah. God knows what's happening with him.
Who, sorry?
Luis Alberto.
Luis Alberto, no, he's gone.
He's gone.
So he's rejoined some Qatari thing. Sorry, because I'm just reading right now that there's a bit of a divide at Lazio at the moment, because the management and the dressing room don't agree on the next captain.
Mm.
Apparently, the hierarchy would like to crown Zaccagni as the captain, while the team wants Cataldi to be the captain. It makes sense with Cataldi because he's a childhood Lazio player and fan. But yeah, Zaccagni is also taking the number 10. Interestingly enough.
Zaccagni taking number 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's expected. He is their star man nowadays.
So we'll see. Hopefully they resolve this. But I think they will, bro. They will at best get an Europa League spot, I think.
Uh-huh. At best. Yeah. They won't do any better than that.
Our next question. Ah, yes. He also asked us about...
Como. I expect them not to battle relegation.
Uh-huh. Same as Monza first season. Exactly. They won't fight for Europe, but they will be very comfortably away from relegation.
Yeah.
I think they'll finish above Monza.
You think they'll finish above Monza?
Yes, for sure.
Yes, I agree.
Nice.
Como to finish above Monza.
Christos asks, who will finish as Milan's top scorer this season?
Morata or Leao?
But you have to pick one.
Leao.
I'll go Morata.
Okay. Fuck. Why?
Because I think it's going to be a bit tight for Leao, space-wise, every game, especially against teams that will shut up shop against Milan.
I like that you're saying that, because you always say Leao is going to have like a massive breakthrough season, and he never does, except for, you know, the season Milan won the league.
Yes.
And he always has a good season, it's just he's on and off at times. I think Morata will help Leao a lot, and I think Leao being closer to goal, sure, it will show limitations, but it's going to give him more opportunities. It's going to give him more opportunities to score from like loose balls, and that's only going to increase his confidence. And when Leao is confident, he's up there with the best players in the world. So I think I will say Leao.
Never write off Pulisic as well. And we know we're wrong already, because it's definitely going to be Füllkrug, right?
Yeah. I really hope Füllkrug joins Milan, man. It'll give them two really different avenues up top.
It's true. I like that. I like the fact that you have variety, you know?
I have an answer to Nick's question.
Who is it?
SMS. Sergei Milinkovic-Savic. I'm locking in those lyrics.
I have an answer as well.
Who?
Ricardo Saponara.
Oh my God.
Obviously.
Excellent. Obviously, yes. Excellent. Look at us.
And also, I wish... new question. Two players I wished would actually take the leap to Serie A from Serie B. Tutino, who's just been terrorizing Serie B for like the past 3 or 4 seasons. Killing it, by far being one of the best players over there. And also, Massimo Coda, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe towards the end of the season didn't make that take
it's
that
true.
Step.
It's true. Like, it's weird.
He's just joining every team, getting them promoted and going to another Serie B team. But anyway. Matthias asks, where will Fofana fit in Milan's midfield? He looks interesting. He said.
He does look interesting. And I don't think Milan will get him because Milan are low-balling. I think Milan are getting this reputation in the transfer market that is really pissing people off, and then they might end up burning some bridges in this process. Thankfully, they've got good links with some teams that know how to develop talent. Lille, Chelsea, so on and so forth.
Bro, about Milan burning bridges, man, all I'm going to say is I'm going to probably show you I'm solid first, and if the energy ain't right, I'm going to show you how easy it is to cut ties.
Romelu.
No more tries, gone.
Romelu, baby.
Yeah.
I think he'll fit in. I mean, Kaká, Seedorf, and Pirlo needed Gattuso. Casemiro was needed with Kroos, Modric, and Valverde. An anchor is needed now. Where he will fit in exactly?
That's the question. Because 4-2-3-1. We're talking about a 4-2-3-1 with a double pivot of, as it stands, Bennacer, Reinders.
I think Bennacer leaves, goes to Saudi. Milan makes some good money from that, and Fofana fits in there.
My hot take is that Bennacer at his best is better than Reinders.
I agree. But okay. is he ever going to be at that level again? That's a question.
We don't know, because he's only just come back from injury. As in, he came back from injury towards the end of the season and kind of looked a little bit out of it. But he looked good.
In a natural cycle of football teams, I don't mind Bennacer now moving away and Milan can replace with, finally replacing Kessie. I like the Fofana move. Fofana, Reinders, Loftus. That's how it fits.
Fofana, Reinders, Loftus. Yes, probably. Question for the pod from Joey D, our new patron.
Yes,
sir. He says, why would Fiorentina sell their team captain Milenkovic for 14.3 million to buy Pongracic for 15 million?
Well, again, this is exactly what I just said. The natural
cycle, right?
Cycle in football is, sure, Milenkovic is the captain.
He was not the captain.
Biragi is the captain, no?
Yeah. I don't think he was it. But he's probably worn the armband on occasion. Because of seniority's sake and the fact that he's a national team regular.
Milenkovic has shown a lot of limitations recently.
Yeah.
And I think Pongracic is a good option. Can he perform consistently at that level when they're fighting for Europa League, Champions League, so on and so forth? That's the question, right?
It is. I think Pongracic is an upgrade to Milenkovic when it comes to technical ability, when it comes to defensive solidity. I think he is an upgrade. And he's a more mature head, I feel. I feel like Milenkovic can be so hot-headed and clumsy sometimes. I just think Milenkovic is better suited from the Premier League.
I think so.
And I think Pongracic would be good for Paladino as well.
Yep, I agree.
Yes. Theo asks, what are your feelings on Emerson Royal to Milan rumours picking up speed again? Lol.
I really don't like Emerson Royal, man.
I've just, like Joey D said in the group chat, Emerson Royal and Emerson Palmieri aren't the same people.
No.
Who?
Emerson Palmieri is the left back. Emerson Royal is the right back.
Okay.
Emerson Palmieri stepped in for Spinazzola.
I remember, but I thought it was him.
Emerson Royal is hilarious, bro.
I saw a mistake he did in preseason, giving the ball away tragically.
But it's one of those, bro, where I watch him play and I'm like, I don't quite get what Milan see in him. And everyone's mentioning that he's a vice to Calabria. Yes, but shouldn't the goal be
to upgrade
from Calabria? Yes.
Apparently there's a Nottingham Forest right back, Milan one, as usual.
What happened to the Matty Cash links, man?
Matty Cash, I'm not sure. I'm not even sure where he is nowadays, but those rumors.
Aston Villa.
Okay. He's good. But the right back is definitely needed. Even with Kalulu being liked by Fonseca, I think maybe another right back would be nice. Mm-hmm. Especially knowing that Kalulu last season had quite a few injuries.
Yeah.
And you don't want to end up with only Calabria again.
I saw Calabria make a mistake in preseason as well. When he lost the ball and looked so
clumsy running back. I saw it. Football Leon asks, but this is Nicholas. He asks, not really a hot take, but the Premier League is shit and it isn't enjoyable to watch and they are slowly ruining world football with their money. Look, Leon, Nicholas.
Where did Leon come from?
It's his hand. I understand your sentiment. However, everyone knows that the Premier League have a lot of money and everyone abuses them because of it.
Mm-hmm.
People don't sell. They don't make the same moves that happen in Italy and Spain and in France. When it comes to the Premier League, the Italian clubs swap players for 12 million, 15 million, 10 million, 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
If the Premier League shows interest, boom, 25 million, please. 30 million, please. 50 million, please.
Yeah.
So they're taking advantage. They're helping certain Italian teams grow. And if Italian teams keep moving smart and keep picking these players from the Norwegian League, the Swiss League, French League One, you know, or League Two, rather, the second division. And they keep moving smart and these players keep impressing, then they can keep growing off of selling to the Premier League.
Yeah. And I think as humans, we just hate it when people leave and when things come to an end, right? Mm-hmm. But there's always a cycle, yes. and there's always players that come in, like when Xerxes came into the season, came into the league, and now he's leaving. Who would have thought Xerxes was going to hit this height last year when he got like 3 goals last season? And the one before he was at Parma, who knew he was going to be that good? God knows what is brewing somewhere at the Parma level, Venezia level, Como level, so on and so forth. There's so much talent that's going to come out. The French league, apart from PSG, must think the same thing of Serie A. Because Serie A gets so much talent from the French league. Mm-hmm. And then the French league, they get their talent from the Dutch league.
Yeah,
The Dutch league must hate the French league. And then the Dutch league, they steal all the talent from the Belgian league.
Yes.
And the Belgian league are like, fuck the Dutch league. This is the chain, no?
Yes,
and now
yes.
The Premier League, who do they hate? They hate the Saudi league. Because they want Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh, boycott Saudi, mate.
Exactly.
Boycott him.
That's good.
That was good, yeah.
The best.
Atalanta have literally created a successful club by ripping off United year after year after year.
Oh, Papu Gomez when he left
Papu
the league.
Ilicic, another one.
When he left the league.
Yes.
There are so many
I'm players.
Just blanking
yes, but they're on the world mind, that's probably. Viola's a free agent.
Milan.
Yeah. We also have one more question, but I'm not sure I'm prepared to answer. It's from Joey D. He said, one more question for the pod if you haven't started recording yet. But we're legends. In light of the Roma news, what 3 teams currently in Serie A are most in need of a new stadium? So the Roma news is that they're getting a new stadium. It looks incredible, by the way. You should check that out online.
Mm-hmm.
Which teams do you think need a new stadium? I think Napoli could use a new stadium, man.
I think Napoli could certainly use a refurbishment of the stadium, but that stadium is so historic. That's Diego Maradona Stadium.
Most stadiums in Italy are iconic.
Mm-hmm.
San Siro is iconic, but Milan have been trying to get a new one for ages now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I would say Milan simply because they really want it.
And because of the... Everyone should have their own stadium. Yeah. Every team should have their own stadium. They should be the ones benefiting of ticket sales.
Exactly.
I love Juve Stadium.
It's nice.
Atalanta Stadium.
It's being redone as well, remodeled. Mm-hmm. Well, they're adding stands, essentially. I mean, Lazio, the Olympico, you know, it's cool and all, but again, they could use a new one, you know, a more modern one. I'm a massive fan of history, and I think everyone should stay put, personally.
Exactly.
That's my stance on
Milan,
this whole
stadium. Inter, San
situation.
Siro.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Como definitely need a new one though, so Como.
I'm not too sure, to be honest, bro. Again, I value history. I think teams are iconic for their stadiums, and I don't want anyone to change stadium, if I'm being honest.
So before we go, I just want to give you an update that Joseph Minala's Slema were playing today.
Uh-huh.
Right.
How's Jojo doing?
They played against, one moment, don't look, it's a surprise. They played against... Where are they?
Search Slema, bro. Scroll.
You're right. What the fuck am I doing? Sorry. Sometimes I really show that I'm a boomer. Slema Football Club. Yes, they played against a team called Noah from Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Menala did... He played. He played. He was the holding midfielder.
Why is this a surprise?
Because they lost 7-0.
Oh my God. Against Noah.
Against Noah.
Jesus.
Noah without his arc. But yeah, poor Joseph, will send him a message now.
Maybe don't. Maybe yeah, keep it when he scores his penalties. Exactly. So those are fun. Anyways, I think we can end it here. A bit of a shorter one. 1 hour 16 minutes. 1 hour 17 minutes. So thank you guys for listening. We're doing something cool this weekend.
On Saturday.
Should we...
Yes, stay tuned to our YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Yeah. We're actually growing on YouTube quite a bit. We're on 175 subscribers, which is still nothing compared to the 2,000 plus listeners we get on Spotify. So please, if you're listening, do hit subscribe on YouTube, because I know you're there.
Please. Okay. It'd be really cool.
Yes, it really would.
Anyway.
We're recording an interesting video, which is very different to the things we normally do, basically.
Yeah. And stay tuned as well, because we will continue to update you guys on the transfers. Maybe take an odd week off here and there. And we're soon back, guys. The league is soon back. I just noticed that on the 8th, I'm going to Sicily for my friend's bachelor's. I come back, it's Ferragosto / Santa Maria break.
Mm.
And that weekend, Milan play Torino. So we're soon back, guys. Chin up. We can do this. My God. If Giroud was still at Milan, he'd have his bleached blonde hair, be fully tanned. As in, not because he's sexy, but it's because it's iconic. Anyway, thank you, guys. We'll see you all next week, probably.
This is Serie A Spotlight.
If you like Serie A or have ever liked it in the past, it's a good opportunity for you to listen once a week and you'll get filled in.
In the football weekend, that's like the main dish. But then a few days later, you drop your episode and that's like the dessert. And the dessert is just perfect.
It's good, the cake.
It makes it feel like we're all sitting in a room together, just BSing with each other.
The atmosphere is fantastic.
I promise nobody will ask you to send boob pics.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I love how you go into so much detail and show so much passion towards each and every team. Literally, no team is left undiscussed.
When I listen to you, it's like I'm talking to you in a pub. It's like I'm chatting to a friend and you're chatting to me.